Well, hello there again, you good folk of Audioboo, Facebook, and Twitter. Welcome back to the third installment of My Eyes and Me. And I actually had to, we got in the last installment to the fact that I was diagnosed with having a detached retina, give or take 7.5 years ago now. I have to confess, actually, I've jumped over some more procedures that took place regarding the eyes, which took place post the initial cataracts. The first one, I had to warn you now, if you are of a squeamish nature, then, or you get squeamish quite easily, then you may want to look away now, because it's... I'm afraid I'm going to have to get a little bit graphical, folks. I apologise for that. But what they had to do was, well, obviously when they took the cataract out, they also had to cut open the eyeball, okay, and then stitch it back up. And these stitches are really microscopic, small. I mean, they're not visible to the naked eye. You have to see them, look under them, look at them under a microscope. And that's fine. But most of them fall out naturally with the aid of the eye drops and then just the sort of beige of the eye and stuff like that. They just fall out and then don't take any notice of them. One or two, however, are slightly more tricky to remove. And that's why I had to go back and see Professor Easton. This came up in one of, obviously, the follow up outpatient appointments after the. Second cataract, I think it was, 20 odd years ago, and it was left out of it. This was, I remember vividly. What they had to do was they gave me a local anaesthetic, and I think looking back at that, I wish I'd gone for the general anaesthetic, quite frankly. Because what they do, they put this clamp on the eye, which effectively keeps your eyelids open. And then they, apologise for getting graphical here, they actually take cotton buds and they try and flick over your eyeball, okay? Because obviously the stitch is what falls at the back of the eyeball, the ones that got stuck and needed to be physically removed. And see, they were sort of very much conscious of what's going on. The general anaesthetic is there to try and numb the pain, although, quite frankly, if you smack me in the head, it'd probably be the downside better, because the pain, boy, whoa, you mental, you are conscious that Professor is just there, you got your eye clamped open, okay, so your eyelids are clamped open, so you can't close your eye, you can't get away from the light, and he's got the light on the, yeah, well, he's got head torches, obviously he's looking at that, trying to flick your eyeball over to remove said stitches. Not a pleasant experience, but I can warn you, so if you had to have that operation, or that procedure more to the point, I insist on going on the general, because, you know, you won't feel the pain quite as much as if you go on the local anaesthetic. That was fine, and that came along. The next one we had to do was remove so-called floaters. Now, the floaters are little things which, by the very nature of their name, are little black blobs you see in your vision. They just will float either top to bottom, left to right, across your field of vision. I mean, you could be looking at the sky and thinking, oh, is that a bird or a plane in the distance? And as you notice, it's a floater that's going across your field of vision. Most of those you can live with, but then again, they had to just sort of scan, yeah, blast with a bit of laser surgery. And so that's what we actually did. Again, I think I can't remember if I was the anesthetic, because it's a very, actually, simple procedure. They just find this, but actually put this, I can't remember how they did it actually, where they actually put some sort of pen against the actual eyeball itself and blast that way, or when you sit in front of the machine, I forget which. Apologies for that, you may want to Google it up. Yeah. But that sort of blasts the floaters. It gets rid of the bulk of them. So you go, I mean, okay, yes, I've still got your one or two. And ironically, right on cue, I can see one right now. it's a bit ironic. Anyway, that's by the by. Let's get back to procedures. I say, the end of the last installment, we've got to the stage where I've been rushed up to back to the Bristol Eye Hospital, and they had examined me and noticed that the retina in my right eye had become detached. Okay, serious problems, because obviously this is the good eye, this is the eye that I spent the last 30 odd years reliant on, and that being seriously damaged was not good. So anyway, I say we had to go and sleep overnight, which is on the face of one of these big sort of rubber rings. And the idea is to sort of relieve pressure on the eye or something, or whatever, I'm not quite sure, but it was not a peaceful night's sleep, I could do that much. And anyway, but on the plus, I suppose I've got to bump up to the top of the queue. So apologies if anybody was due to have an eye operation that Friday morning, but I sort of need to probably be apologies about that. Anyway, I remember they didn't wheel me out to the theatre, I just walked up in the gown, and obviously like before the Friday, put an X across the right above the right eye, and what notes to take, right to right eye, breath, attach, breath, blah, 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 meal by mouth from midnight. I went up and this pretty nurse came and collected me from the ward and took me up. And I remember thinking, okay, yes, doing this sort of pre-op check. So, yeah, I mean, oh, yeah, you know, you prefer your name, date of birth, blah, 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 blah. I said, okay, right, short scratch. That was it, that was the general anesthetic, obviously. And obviously, I was then wheeled into theatre. Thankfully, the retina was successfully reattached. And I remember they kept me in for about a week, so obviously, I wanted to double check if there wasn't going to sort of any complications or sort of side effects, things like that. And I can remember actually that initially they had to give you drops on the hour, every hour. Now, you can imagine being a poor nurse. I felt actually I do some bad now, looking back at it. Because the poor night nurses that had to go in the night shift and had to wake me up every hour, continue every hour. And he said, get up, go away, sort of thing. Poor thing, had to go, wake me up, get me to sit up, look into a light, yeah, so they put the drop into the right eye, and then they go to sleep again. And thankfully, that didn't take as long as I did that, okay. You're getting better, because I had all these drops, I think I had about 3 drops per session, really, because they were prednisolone, which is actually helped the eczema as well. So that was good. And they said about 2 or 3 days later, so they asked me, you could just drop it to do it at night when you go to bed, and that's it. You don't wait till when you wake up next morning. And because you're in the eye hospital, because they have the drops, they can do it. Okay. You just remind you, obviously, how to do the drops, look up, obviously, and not put in your teeth. That's bad. But I think it's safe if you put in your teeth, though, you or mother problems. So just taught me how to just bathe the eye prior to put the drops in, obviously, making sure that it was clean and all the rest of it. And I stayed in there, and I remember being released that following week, and actually it was the day. I remember it's 2007. I think because it was the 7/7 bombing in London, and it was the day after we'd been awarded the Olympic Games for this year, and it's the next year. And anyway, I came along, and we got it, and they said, "That's fine, you can now go and take it home." And unfortunately, I had a taxi right across the road from my hospital, so I got a taxi back home and dropped it off and the rest of it. I remember I had tendency with it at the time. One was, "Oh, God, your eye looks really bloodshot. You should have seen it last week, you know." So anyway, that was fine. And we just dropped along, had a follow up appointment to the consultant. And I think that's when he told me, coming to this one or a few ones down the line, said, "Well, yes, it was successful, but in reattaching your retina, we tore, it's like film. We could repair that, but chances are we may do more damage if trying to repair it." And that was coming to terms with the fact that you were effectively locked the vision in the right eye. Yes, I mean, I can see out the right eye, but focus on numbers and like that. I feel really bad late, because I had to go to the eye hospital last week. I just make out 30 pounds in the right eye, but had to have my fingers, she was holding up, I couldn't tell you. And coming to terms with the fact that I've lost this, I've been using this eye for major years, I still see out of it, so they're being attacked, so it could be a lot more worse had they not been able to reattach the retina. But it was just sort of coming to terms, this took a hell of a long time. I think, if I'm honest, at the time, I still think, I wish, you know, we could just say, "Oh yes, yeah, that'd be fine, your right eye, it'd be perfectly fine in your right eye," but that's not the case, and I'm now officially registered as being partially sighted, and all the forms, and I'll get the concessionary bus pass, and disabled rail card and stuff like that, and I've gone out and bought myself a folding white cane, and so it's just sort of getting used to it like that. But I can remember thinking, the brain didn't really matter. It's just, okay, we just sort of force the left eye to do all of the work, and that's what happens. And that was going strong until last week, when I just realised that I had getting blurry vision again, and I thought, it's no good. And there could be a cataract, obviously, let's say the lenses where the cataract developed on both eyes had both been removed. But 20 odd years ago, so when I was in my late teens, 17 or 18, I had the first cataract. When I was 18, obviously, when I had the 18 year old, 19 year old, when I had the second cataract. And, excuse me, it was just a real shock to the system, losing the fact that the right eye grown used to and fond of, and part of it felt like, I suppose it's like they saw these twins when they've been disjointed, separated, how you're going to cope without each other, but no, the eye just sort of had to say, okay, right, we'll force the left eye to be the good eye, it was okay until last week, I'll say, when obviously we had blurry vision, it was a mix of waterproof fog and heavy cream film wrapped across your eyes. And I have kind of spoken at length over this in the previous audio, but I'll just run it through again anyway. It was that I went, obviously, rushed down to A&E and the BRI, a bit BEA, so at the Bristol Eye Hospital. And they effectively said, okay, right, you've got some sort of jelly in there. Oh, God. But they gave me some more drops, which I think, because I'd been running low, I was kind of conscious that that kind of happened as well. And they said, hey, we'll see you in 2 days' time. Unfortunately, it has made a hell of a difference. I mean, yes, I still get blurry vision, but I just put the drops in, bathe the eyes gently, and that's fine. So, really, what I want to say is catch you in a minute, because I'm going to get cut off again.